Eagle Shows presents the Oaks Gun Show on February 7th, 8th, and 9th at the Greater Philadelphia Expo Center. Come out to buy, sell, and trade guns, outdoor sports equipment, arts, and crafts. 1,500 tables on site. Eagle Shows are Pennsylvania's largest gun show, and they have big expectations to meet everywhere they go. Eagle Shows are proud to be guided by our state's motto of virtue, liberty, and independence. Eagle Shows at the Greater Philadelphia Expo Center, February 7th, 8th, and 9th. Visit eagleshows.com and get your tickets today.
When you get a cancer diagnosis, your world stops, but not Fox Chase Cancer Center. When the science moves quickly, we move quicker, because cancer is all we do. From the molecular level to the human level, we stay focused on your unique cancer, not just following the science, but discovering new paths forward, giving you a head start on better outcomes. Learn more at foxchase.org/where you start, because where you start matters.
Kickstart your new year with a rewarding career at the HK Group. HK is the leader in heavy construction and contractor site materials with over 80 locations across Pennsylvania, New Jersey, and Delaware. HK offers a wide range of opportunities, including heavy equipment operators, CDL drivers, mechanics, site supervisors, engineers, and project managers. 100% paid benefits designed to promote healthy living, financial stability, and career growth. The HK Group does not discriminate. Apply today at hkgroup.com. It's your future opportunity.
Welcome back into Sports Talk. Before we get into our guest, Wilson Alexander, talking LSU football, we got some basketball news. Ding, 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 ding. The trade deadline in full effect. This has been a wild one, gentlemen. The Miami Heat finalizing a deal to send Jimmy Butler to the Golden State Warriors for Andrew Wiggins, Dennis Schroeder, Kyle Anderson, and a protected first-round pick. And Jimmy Butler reportedly getting a new two-year $121 million extension with the franchise through 26-27. Wild deadline, gentlemen. This has been a fun one for sure. We'll see because if any more action comes the Pelicans' way.
We had heard rumors that he did not want to go to the Warriors without a new deal.
Right.
And then, bang, the new deal comes about with Jimmy Butler. My question is, how much basketball gas does Jimmy Butler have left in the tank?
I don't know. I think that tank's near empty, in my opinion, at least.
Yeah, we'll see with that. And sometimes it's the right fit, and sure, sometimes guys do things for short term. You know, Warriors doing this for a short term situation. But, man, Jimmy Butler, you know, he did things kind of weird toward the end to get out. But did you ever question him as a competitor before all this?
Right.
But, man, nobody questioned him. He gave it to you out on the court.
Well, from Jimmy Butler, we're going to go to the Bayou Bengals, our guest in the virtual Treasure Chest Casino Power Seat. Wilson Alexander, covering the LSU Tigers for The Advocate and Times-Picayune. Wilson, appreciate your time. How you been doing, man?
We're doing all right. How are you guys tonight?
Great, Wilson. Great to hear your voice again. And, man, I keep up with everything through your father-in-law. And so our prayers and thoughts are still with you and your wife. And you guys got some good news in recent weeks. And so still thinking about you. And God bless, brother.
Thank you for that, Mike. She's a fighter, man, and she keeps pushing. I appreciate you and the support with the family and everything like that. Thanks so much.
Wilson, in this recruiting class, I think the story is really the transfer guys. Not so much the high school recruits, but it was for a coach who a couple years back got in front of that podium and said, we're not going to build this team through transfer portal. We might get a guy here and there, but we're not going to go full-fledged into that. Boy, did he make a reversal of fortune. And he had to. You had to understand that this world is not going to change for you. You better change for it. And I think at this point, the story is the impact, the potential impact of these transfer portal guys they got through. And, man, it was a big haul for the Tigers. And I still think if you're looking at maybe something else, maybe in the spring, maybe another safety, certainly another tackle. I think that's something that they're going to have to look at. But, man, it was a big haul for Brian Kelly and company.
As you said, they never wanted to build through the transfer portal, and they still don't. Brian Kelly even said that today. He still wants to build through the high school rankings. But when your roster has not been built well through the high school rankings over a couple of classes, this is kind of the spot you find yourself in.
Yep.
LSU, a lot of that 2023 class, the first full cycle under Brian Kelly, a lot of those players are gone now or not expected to be major contributors. So they needed to go, and that was supposed to be your junior class, traditionally the backbone of your team. They needed to go and find experience, and they've done that in pretty much every single spot that they added that transfer. They added somebody who's played a good bit of college football already to kind of supplement those losses that they've had, or just guys not panning out, or some kinds of recruiting misses. And now you're looking at the number one class in the country, according to 24/7 Sports. Also, same outlet, they released some rankings yesterday, the top 100 transfer players in the country who are available in the winter cycle. LSU signed 7 of them, most in the SEC. And so this is a team that is, yes, definitely going to be built a lot through this transfer class. That is the main storyline now going into this 2025 season. Brian Kelly said they wanted to be aggressive in the transfer portal, more so than they really ever had been, both in the number of players they were going to sign and the amount of money they were going to spend. And they have done that. They've done just that. Now it's going to be a really interesting sort of test. Can they become really the first college football national champion that's really built through the portal this way? I mean, Michigan retained a lot of players. Ohio State had some big portal gets, but they had also spent a lot of their money to retain players. LSU has got a lot of new faces on both sides of the ball, and especially on defense.
Wilson, one of the things, and I know from coaching, from talking to Coach Pete Jenkins and Coach Davis and Coach Peoples, is that they needed to get talent and depth across the defensive line. They had not done especially well in the high school ranks recruiting from a number standpoint. Now all of a sudden you're starting to see a little bit of a blend. We saw some really good young talent emerge late in the year because you had to play them. And you saw some young talent there actually get playing time, and some of them extensive playing time. And then you go into the portal, you grab you a couple of edge guys, you got you a couple of guys in the middle, and another recruiting class. So all of a sudden now, what was an obvious weakness, now it might be just for 1 year, it may actually be the strength of your team on defense. Isn't that crazy? Because last year at this time, we couldn't have said that along the defensive line. But yet in that 1 year time frame, because of the young kids playing late in the year and the transfer portal and another recruiting class, that defensive line class, man, Bo Davis and Kevin's got something to deal with now.
There's questions still, which we'll get to in a second, but there is potential there. And as you said, I think, you know, there's something to work with there. On the edges, you got brought in, you had to go and get edge rushers and premier edge rushers because of what, you know, just Savion Jones and Braden Swinson were out of eligibility. They were done. And Deshaun Womack enters the portal. The only guy coming back who really played significant snaps for you on the edge was Gabe Relaford. And so you really needed to go and get guys there, and they've done that. Now they got to continue to develop those players now. I mean, Patrick Payton showed what he can be a couple seasons ago, wasn't quite as productive this last year. You've got to get the most out of him. Can he be a true replacement for Braden Swinson and maybe even exceed what Braden Swinson did last year, which was only put up more than 8 sacks on the year. It was a really solid season. And Jack Pyburn, a guy who's really, I think, improves you as a edge run defender, helps you a lot in that way, but can he be a little bit more than that in terms of a pass rusher? And then same thing kind of with Jamari Butler coming from Nebraska. Like, you got to just continue to develop all these guys. And then on the interior, you know, you haven't really added a lot. You added Sidir Mitchell, but he hasn't played very much at Texas. So you're really counting on those young guys that you mentioned playing at the end of last year, Ahmad Bro and Dominic McKinley. Now, Bo Davis, you got to just see the work that Bo Davis can do with them, get his hands on them for another full offseason. Especially, I mean, McKinley wasn't even an early enrollee. What can he become with a full offseason? You know, then you got Jacoby and Guillory coming back. We'll see when he can get on the field after that Achilles. You've got a lot of freshmen who you've signed. I think 4 defensive line tackle freshmen, some of whom might be able to contribute early. We'll see kind of how that shakes out. I would still argue the linebacker is the strength of your defense going into next year, but you definitely have some pieces up front for these coaches to work with.
Hey, I'm Ben Stiller.
I'm Adam Scott.
And we make a TV show called Severance. On January 17th, Severance is back for season 2 on Apple TV+. And we can't wait for you guys to see it.
And before the premiere, Ben and I are going to be binging season 1 and putting out daily recap podcasts.
Yep. Each weekday beginning January 7th, we'll be dropping an episode featuring exclusive behind-the-scenes tidbits and brilliant insights from our cast and crew and us.
Patricia Arquette, Britt Lauer, Zach Cherry, John Turturro, the list goes on.
All your favorite Lumen employees, their friends, families, enemies, in your feed every single weekday.
And here's the best part. After that, we're going to keep going. Tune in weekly as we recap every episode of Season 2. The podcast drops on the same day the episode comes out.
It's the Severance Podcast with Ben and Adam.
On Apple Podcasts, the Odyssey app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Last year at this time, if I'd have told you the breakout guy on defense is going to be Braden Swenson, what would you have told me?
I probably wouldn't have believed you. He'd done some
good
things
you
before, but not enough to believe he was going to have 8-plus sacks.
and so it goes to show you, when I was talking to Coach Jenkins about this, he was like, Mike, you know, he showed flashes, but he wasn't consistent. But it was every week we saw it from Braden. His breakout moments out on that football field, and you could see other teams understood, hey, one-on-one, we're not going to be able to take care of him. We're going to need a chip here and there. Braden Swenson was really, really the one guy you looked at on defense and say, how in the hell did that guy make so many plays when he was a non-factor a year ago?
Yeah, I mean, he had a great season, and good for Braden for doing so. Maybe he can kind of get him into a spot to get drafted. When you really didn't know if he was going to be coming into the year, I mean, you probably would have a better read on this than I would, but I would think that he probably gets picked at some point.
Yep.
I mean, he was a productive edge rusher in the SEC, and yeah, he was one of LSU's top defensive playmakers along with Whit Weeks, and now LSU's got to find a way to replace that with, I would say, Peyton and Pyburn and Butler and Relaford and Harold Perkins. You know, how are they going to use him off the edge in any way? You know, that's another dynamic edge rusher potential that is coming back to your team next year, too.
You lost so much talent at wide receiver, and you know, you hear all this stupidity about next man up to replace a Malik Nabers and a Brian Thomas Jr. And my deal is, come on, guys. That's not going to happen. You're not going to automatically click your heels and you're going to get a guy that's as good as Malik or Brian Thomas Jr. And, we didn't know about Chris Hilton and the injuries, but late he came across really well. I thought Kyron Lacy was solid throughout the season, but it was the lack of the big play element. And you saw once Hilton got healthy and he got refocused, what he could bring to the lineup. But it's what this team did in the transfer portal. They go out and get themselves a couple guys that can really stretch the field. And, you know, with Nick, you think about it, Anderson, that freshman year, he was a terrific player for Oklahoma. And what you got, that young man from Kentucky, man, is he fast, and he is a game breaker. All of a sudden now, that receiving core has got some dudes in it. It's not potential guys. These are guys that have done it at the highest level.
When LSU started looking at the transfer portal and what it needed to address, wide receiver was one of the very top things. I mean, it was that in some spots on the offensive line. It was also tight end. But, wide receiver was so necessary because it understood that it needed to surround Garrett Nussmeier with weapons. And they seem to have gone and done that. I mean, especially if Nick Anderson can stay healthy, which he wasn't able to do last year at Oklahoma. Like you said, that's a guy who had 10 touchdowns. He's 6 foot as a freshman in 2023. He's 6 foot four. He was a highly thought of, recruit coming out of high school. I mean, like, he can play. He showed it 2 years ago. And he brings you, a guy with so much size. And then Brown, as you said, so fast. The way he can move in space is really impressive. And if he can now play, his stats aren't going to blow you away from Kentucky, but he wasn't playing the last 2 years with a quarterback even close to Garrett Nussmeier's level. The best he had was when he was a freshman with Will Levis. And so you've got those two guys coming in who are likely starters. You bring back Aaron Anderson, a guy who led your team in receiving by the end of the year, who had a breakout season. You've got, as you said, Chris Hilton, who, if he's able to finally stay healthy, knock on wood, because that's just been always the thing with him, then you saw what can happen when he stretches the field. And that's going to be the big thing for LSU, like you said, it's the big playability. I mean, Garrett Nussmeier's yards per attempt weren't super impressive. They kept having to check things down. Teams could just kind of squat on the routes that they were running, and they just didn't have anybody who scared a defense, I don't think, that much down the field vertically. But if you're able to start doing that, you help open up things for the run game. Garrett's got the arm strength to hit those throws. Then you start to talk about a really explosive offense, and a lot of it could be through that wide receiver room if they're able to meet the potential that they have.
The center position, that was something I know you and I talked about in the summer. It was something to watch. It's not an easy position to play. And DJ did his best, but, man, you saw a lot of mental breakdowns, a lot of things not right, a lot of calls sorely getting missed in obvious blitz situations. And now you go out and you get an experienced center from Virginia Tech. And I think out of all these signees, that guy, he may be the most important. Because to me, and, you know, I say this about the pro center too, but I think the same way in the college level, other than quarterback, it's the most difficult position to master. Not only you got to know what to do, and you got to get the snap right, not 50%, not 80%, not 90%, 100% of the time right, and you have to make the calls to the other guys. You are the orchestra leader. To the two guards, two tackles, if you got an inline tight end, you got to make those calls. That, to me, was critical to bring in more from Virginia Tech.
It certainly was. And a guy who, I mean, LSU can probably not go through this, certainly in the spring, and you probably want to get it figured out maybe in the spring or at least have a good idea of what you're going to do. But you could also take this into the preseason camp if you wanted to. You can let some competition happen there, too.
Yep.
Right, if you can have more, you can have Chester, kind of even Cohen Eccles, who was kind of your backup center this past year, a freshman who they thought of really highly in the bowl prep, stood out because of his physicality. You know, that's, and he ends up rotating in the bowl game a little bit at guard. Like, you can give all those guys reps and see kind of where things fit, because there's so much change happening on the offensive line that Brad Davis, a coach who has often wanted to cross train players, is going to be able to experiment quite a bit in the spring in particular, I think. And so you'll see more there. You'll probably still see Chester there, again, maybe even Eccles, and kind of figure it out and see who plays there the best. Because Braylon Moore has played both center and guard, he could fit at either spot. But again, yeah, he's somebody who comes in and probably raises your floor at center. And then if you can slide over DJ Chester to guard, maybe he's better
yes.
suited to play that position. And
so I really
then,
think
you
that's
know,
the
we'll
spot
see if that's
him.
How it shakes out. Yeah,
yeah, I think Wilson, that's the
thought.
Spot for him. And bringing in, you know, Lance Guidry, man, Lance and I go back a long time. I saw him, man, actually play. He was a defensive back at McNeese. So Lance knows the area really well, and he's always been basically a secondary coach. That's his expertise in working with the corners and safeties. And then you bring in Coach Atkins from Florida State, who always is known as a really good recruiter. And they do run the football pretty well at Florida State. Now, last year was a disaster from start to finish with them, but I think those are two major hires for LSU to bring those two guys in. And then yesterday, Tim Rattay, another guy, you know, I scouted him back when he was at Louisiana Tech playing quarterback. And so I know it's been a few years. And, you know, you can see kind of the buildup here of a lot of Louisiana flavor, a lot of connect the dots in the state, but also targeting certain positions that you feel as though you need to get better at. Offensive line, quarterback, and also development of quarterback, and in the secondary.
Starting with the analysts that you mentioned, Rattay and Guidry, I mean, Rattay is kind of a straight-up replacement for Todd Fitch, who left to be the offensive coordinator at Charlotte. But again, a guy who, like you said, was so prolific at Louisiana Tech, goes on to have an NFL career, and then has been a quarterback's coach most recently at Oklahoma State. He also overlapped with Joe Sloan for a long time at Louisiana Tech. There's a connection there that made a lot of sense after he was dismissed at Oklahoma State along with pretty much everybody else on their staff for him to come over here and be your sort of quarterback's analyst. And then with Guidry, yeah, I mean, he can come in and help you in the secondary, and a guy who also has seen a lot of football and who has coordinated a defense for the past years in Miami. And maybe it wasn't great at their times, but he's at least, he has a ton of expertise and sort of brings a new perspective and just another set of eyes to things, and also helps you develop your safeties, which is the position that LSU needs to develop probably the most on the defensive side of the ball. And then with Atkins, it's really interesting because, again, also, like you said, both guys with Louisiana connections. Atkins has even coached at Tulane. There's another Louisiana guy there for you. And Atkins is somebody who's only coached tight ends once before, but it seems like the thought process here is you've got some natural pass catchers there at tight end, especially Tre'Davious Green. Now you're bringing in a guy who's mostly been an offensive line coach. let him develop them as blockers. LSU needs to get better inline blocking from the tight end position to really be able to run this offense. That's going to be a key thing there with him in that spot. And then also, like you said, the expertise he brings, having come from Florida State as your run game coordinator, he's able to add another perspective to that room. Maybe LSU can work on its run schemes, an area where they were not very good last year running the football, and it'll be interesting to see if Alex Atkins can bring something to that to help you get better.
Wilson, appreciate the great info. Thanks so much for the time, and have a good one, man.
Thank you, Wilson.
Thanks, y'all. Have a good rest of your week.
All righty.
Wilson Alexander covering the LSU Tigers for The Advocate and Times-Picayune joining us there.